This is Day to Day. I'm Alex Chadwick. As the president prepares for this evening, we're going to take a moment to examine one particular policy man who's had a lot to do with the U.S. involvement in Iraq. The name Douglas Feith may not be widely known outside Washington, but he's the number three man at the Pentagon and has been involved in some of the most contentious aspects of the Iraq War and its aftermath. Slate's Chris Sullentrop has written an assessment of Feith for Slate. First, Chris, what is Douglas Feith's actual job at the Pentagon and what's his background?
He is the Undersecretary of Defense for Policy, which, as you said, makes him the number three civilian in the Pentagon. His background is he worked in the Reagan administration as a Mideast specialist on the National Security Council and worked under Richard Perle in the Reagan administration in the 1980s at the Defense Department, and then left, became a lobbyist for Turkey, lobbied for defense contractors as a lawyer at his law firm, and then a well-known neoconservative, pushed for, even as a private citizen, pushed for regime change in Iraq, that landed a job at the Pentagon.
Let's hear the voice of this man we're talking about. Here's Douglas Feith speaking 2 months before the war began last year.
We have been talking with various Iraqi exile groups for a long time now. The hope would be that the administration of the country could be transferred as quickly as possible into the hands of the Iraqis if they're organized and ready to fulfill the responsibilities to their own people. And until they are, they could get help from the coalition and the international community.
Now, there's good reason for Douglas Feith to be talking about these matters because he has a big role in post-war planning. Explain that, if you will, Chris.
Yeah, in the Pentagon, he was oversaw an office known as the Office of Special Plans, and that was the Pentagon office that oversaw post-war planning. As we all know, the war turned out a lot better than what we're calling the post-war. People are putting a lot of blame on Feith for that because he or his group that he oversaw dismissed the recommendations of the State Department that foresaw a lot of the problems that we're having in Iraq.
You write that although Douglas Feith has not been implicated in the Abu Ghraib scandal, still he was the architect of a particular policy that may have contributed to the prisoner abuse there. What do you mean?
Going back to the 1980s, Feith had argued that terrorists didn't deserve protection under the Geneva Conventions, which, I mean, a lot of people think is an entirely reasonable position. But still, there were several JAG lawyers over the past couple of years that you read about in news reports that went to a lawyer in New York and said, this guy, Doug Feith, has a derisive attitude toward the Geneva Conventions, that he calls it law in the service of terror. And it's those kind of things and that kind of attitude that people fear had trickled down.
A lot of people who disagree with Douglas Feith, his critics, say that he's a classic example of someone for whom ideology is more important than almost anything. What do you find in researching your article?
Sure. I mean, in my article, what I wrote is that he turns out to be Michael Dukakis in reverse, ideology without competence. It's hard to say that he's actually to blame, that you could actually finger point and say, Doug Feith is the source of all the things that have gone wrong. It is true, however, that everywhere you look that something has gone wrong in the Pentagon, he's right nearby.
Opinion and analysis from Chris Sullentrop. He writes the assessment column for our partners at Slate Magazine. Chris, thanks for joining us again on Day to Day.
Thank you.